All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. You should have with you lesson number 6 at the top. It should say lesson number 6. If you do not have tonight's sheet, raise your hand and Brother Keith will bring you lesson number 6. Now, the first 5 should be in the notebook. Did you get those over there, Shannon? Oh, on the back table. Okay, so Don, we put some lesson 5s over there. If you don't have lessons 1 through 4, they're in the real big blue notebook way over there. And then there's 3 extra notebooks here. If you don't have a notebook and you haven't started yet in this course, their notebooks, there's 3 of them on that black table. They're free. Okay, they're free. Take a notebook. Go up there right now if you want to get one. And there's going to be about 40 lessons, and these are just lessons I wrote about 25 years ago and borrowed a lot of thoughts or whatever. So we're going through it, and this course is called Deeper Things, Deeper Things. And not that the truths are that deep, we're just trying to go deeper into them. And tonight we see lesson number 6, Life is a Trust. The last lesson, lesson number 5 a couple of weeks ago, was Life is a Test. Life is a test. And the goal of any test is to what? To pass. To pass. We're going to be tested in this life, and we've got to accept that by faith. Otherwise, you'll be confused. You'll wonder, what is God doing? I thought God was just supposed to make my life really easy and healthy and wealthy and wise and wonderful retirement. And No, you didn't read the book. That's for sure, because he takes people. And we looked a lot at Job last time and how he was tested, and he was like one of the best men around in his day. So very severe tests come to very good people. And we talked about metaphors last week. Now look at the discussion this week. First, let's read 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's our verse tonight. And we'll have other verses here that we'll look up, and other verses too that I will add to the notes. So feel free to write anything you want on this. Put it in your notebook. And then there's going to be a couple lines down here that we fill in. That's your business. It's your business to write those things down here. So tonight, life is a trust. Life is a trust. Last week, life is a test. Last time, life is a trust. Notice in verse 2, speaking to us, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Let's read the discussion. Another metaphor the Bible uses to describe life is trust. We are called stewards. A steward is one who has been entrusted with the care of something that belongs to another. For example, imagine if a relative of yours went on a European vacation for a month and asked you to move into their house and take care of it. If you agreed, you have become a steward. Their house and all of their possessions now have become a trust in your hand. And so there's a little example from life. But let's read what the Bible says. You're in 1 Corinthians 4 right now. Let's skip down to verse 7. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. It says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? That's quite a question. Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? What a question. Right in the middle of verse 7, there is a statement, and then we're going to go to a little discussion here on the sheet here. It says, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? What hast thou that thou hast not received? That's quite a question, isn't it? And yet, a lot of people think that everything they own, they earn. This is mine. You know, get all you can all you get, and then sit on the lid. This is my stuff. I earned it. But the Bible says contrary to that. Turn to another verse that's very similar, John 3 and verse number 27. Of course, this is now the words in John 3:27 of John the Baptist. Now, he was a Spirit-filled preacher. That doesn't mean he was perfect, but this guy was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. And notice what he says to us in John 3:27. Almost the exact same thing Paul just said. He says this, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. You know, we're supposed to take God at his word. And this is the word of God. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So Paul said that, and now John the Baptist says that. Anybody remember what James said? Does anybody by any chance have James 1 and verse 17 down as a personal memory verse? Anybody know that one? It starts out with every. Okay. Amen. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So the Holy Spirit teaches us that truth now through Paul, through John the Baptist, and through James. Every good gift, do we live that way? Do we believe that way? That everything we have was given to us by God, and we now then are stewards. They have been put to our trust to take care of for a while until we'll see later what happens to it all. So we got a question down underneath these verses, and you might want to write James 1:17 on your notes. How much of what we own did we receive? Well, here's a few options. All, some, or none. Well, what's the biblical answer? All. Now, you might not believe it, or you might contend with that or something, but it's the truth. Everything we have. One verse says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That is why America is blessed, because in our past, God was the Lord of this nation, and we are blessed. And so, again, all of our blessings came from God. We call it the American dream. Now, it's starting to fizzle. Starting to go away under this administration, and not just their fault, but the Lord said, you know, tomorrow's the 4th of July, the Lord said, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. And we are a forgetful nation right now, and so all these blessings all of a sudden have turned into about 20% inflation rate in the last 4 years. And now you need, on average, the average household now needs $8,400 a year more every year just to maintain the lifestyle Americans had 4 years ago. That's not to buy new stuff. That's just to be able to maintain what we used to have. $700 a month, $8,400. And so we see inflation and maybe America is in for a humbling. We sure could use it. Humility is a good thing. If my people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. America needs to be healed. And it starts with humility. That's part of the medicine to bring about healing and revival to a country. Let's see what David said about this. Turn back to the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles and chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We've seen what James has said. We've seen what Paul has said. We've seen what John the Baptist said. Now, David, he's getting ready to die, and he's making preparation. And in verse number, let's start with verse number 11, 1 Chronicles 29, and we'll start reading in verse 11. David's praising God. And he says in verse 10, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." Now notice David's word. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." Boy, they're all saying the same thing, aren't they? This time, David is the one that says, "For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." In other words, David's offering, which is recorded in the Bible, humanly speaking, is quite impressive. I mean, it's like staggering how much he prepared for the next generation and left for them to build the temple and everything. But you know, David said, "I'm just giving back what God gave to me. I'm just giving back what God gave to me." So let's listen to the wisdom tonight of David and James and Paul and John the Baptist. So the next question says, someone might protest that they earned it. But even in earning and working hard, which we should do, what truth are we reminded of in Deuteronomy 8:18? Well, start looking that up. And in the meantime, remember what David just said. Who am I, and what is my people, that we should offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, even of thine own have we given thee. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 18. Well, let's see if Moses chimes in on this. Moses, let's see what he has to say in the law. Deuteronomy 8:18, of course, he's writing God's words. He says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." So there's quite a statement there, too. It is he that giveth thee power. Somebody might say, "I went out and worked." Who gave us the power? Who gave us the health to go out and work? Have you ever seen disabled people who can't work anymore? All right. Remember the story? I've told this story 10 times. I'll make it real brief. But one guy said, "Hey, if God wants my money, let him go out, get up at 6 a.m. every morning and work." Remember that guy? I've told that story many times. Very shortly after, he had a massive heart attack. I knew this fellow. My wife knew him. And he never worked again, never worked another day in his life. Now, praise the Lord for what you've come through, brother. You've had 6 stents put in your heart, and here you are back on the road. But what happened, Brother Bottrell, to that man was it humbled him, and later he accepted Christ as his Savior. Amen. And he died now, but he's gone home to be with the Lord. But what a thing to say. What a thing to say. And God's not mocked, you know. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. We need to watch our mouths sometimes and what we say about God. And we should just say, "Lord," on your way to work tomorrow, just say, "Lord, thank you for giving me the power to get wealth. I know it's hot out here. It's humid. It's tough sometimes. People get to me. But God is the one that gives us the power to get wealth." And so we have this little line here underneath Deuteronomy 8:18. Someone might protest that they earned it, but even in earning and hard work, What truth are we reminded of in this verse we just read? And you can put it in your own words, but it's God who gives us power to get wealth. God gives us power to get wealth. And take advantage of that, especially you that are young who can really work. You know, the strength of the young man, or the glory of young men is their strength, right? That's what it says. And while you have that strength, use that. Work hard. Also work for the Lord. And remember the Lord's work, too. And so let's read on. We never really own anything on earth while we are here. God just loans it to us. We are described as coming into the world naked and leaving the same way. Where's that? Turn to Ecclesiastes. This is not on your notes, but you might want to write down this reference. And turn to Ecclesiastes 5. And I'm going to read verse 15. What does Solomon say about this? A lot of commentary on this truth tonight. Ecclesiastes 5:15, Solomon says, "As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand." So how much do you take with you? Nothing. Nothing. You leave it all. And Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, you have no idea what the person you leave it to is going to do with it. And so make sure you have a will and designate that to people you love and trust and want to be a blessing to, especially Christians, maybe missionaries, maybe the church, your loved ones that are really walking with the Lord, that type of thing. We talked about that preparation. And I got a flyer over here on this table, a checklist for senior citizens, 7 things a senior citizen should do before they die, based on the words of Isaiah to Hezekiah, who said, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." And there's 7 things, and the number 7 should be number 1, but number 7 is make sure you're saved. Make sure you're saved. But have a will and a health care proxy and a power of attorney and a quit claim, a life use deed on your house and funeral expenses, all that kind of stuff. We should have those. But you don't take anything away with you. The old joke is you never see a hearse being followed by a U-Haul. Nobody takes a thing with them. And we come in naked, we leave naked, we leave it all behind, and it could be very, very suddenly. So let's be good stewards of what God has given to us. I think one man that said it well was Jim Elliot. Remember him, the missionary to the Aka Indians? And he said, "He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." That person's not a fool. They're not a fool. That lady that gave the alabaster box of ointment to Jesus, anointed him for the burial. Everybody despised her and disdained her, but Jesus said, no, she did that for me. And everywhere the gospel is preached, until I come back again, people are going to honor that woman for her gift. And they do, and we do. Every preacher I know has preached on that sometime, every teacher. All parents probably have just kept honoring that lady for what she gave to the Lord. She was a good steward of what she had, and her ointment was usually used for life insurance by widows back then, where they would sell off the ointment and live on it if their husbands died. And she had quite a treasure of that, and she gave it to the Lord. So, going back to our relative's house for a month, you would be able to enjoy it, use it like it's yours, but all the time take care of it because it is someone else's. And they're going to come back, and there's going to be a judgment made on how well you did. You know, if you or I borrowed our neighbor's lawnmower and they were gone for a week or a month or something, and they come back and the tires are flat and the blades are all chewed up because we've been hitting rocks, and the engine's sputtering because we never turned the choke off or whatever. You know, and they come back and they find their lawnmower a wreck, and then we go and ask them for something else. You know? All right? That person is going to say, no, I'm not going to trust you with anything else. And that is sometimes people are frustrated with prayer. And they say, well, it doesn't work like it says in the Bible. But you know, there's conditions on prayer, too. And, for instance, God gives you men. A lot of you men are married. He gives you a wife. Well, what does he say about prayer regarding your wife? 1 Peter 3:7, right? It says, dwell with them according to knowledge. It says, and ye husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Giving honor unto them as unto the weaker vessels, and being heirs together of the grace of life. And then that verse ends with this statement, that your prayers be not hindered. So your wife is a trust. It's one of God's daughters, right? Your wife is a child of God. And God says, here, take care of her for me for a while. And that's a trust. Well, sometimes people have trouble with their prayer life and they can't figure it out. Sometimes men do and they can't figure it out. And I'll tell them, quit praying and go fix your marriage. Because he said, your prayers will be hindered. What's the sense of keeping praying? But that's just one example where we need to be good stewards of what God has given to our trust. All right, next paragraph. God has given you a mind, body, talents, some money, some possessions, some family or friends, a church, a Bible, some health. And then I put the word etc. down here because there's a lot more. Have you been a good steward of these? Your eternal standing depends on it, not your salvation. That's dependent solely on what Christ did for us at Calvary on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. That's salvation, but your standing in heaven, your inheritance, your rewards, is often based upon if we had been a good steward of what God gave us. Man, think of the things he's given. Think of the mind he's given us and what the mind could be used for. But a lot of times the imaginations of men's hearts is only evil continually. They're bad stewards, and God was so upset with that once he flooded the whole world. Because men took the mind God gave them and were not good stewards of it. And they used it for evil. All right, now we need to turn to Matthew 25. We're getting down there. Matthew 25 and verse number 21. Matthew 25 and verse number 21. We're talking about life is a trust. And part of this parable says in verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enjoy thou, or enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now, this is a parable. But the Lord says, look, even if you just have a few things, be a good steward of those few things that you have. And the Lord said, if you've been a steward, a good steward, faithful in a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many things. Now, I don't know what that means, but it sure sounds good. It sure sounds motivating that I should just try to be a steward of everything God has given me. Just try to be a good steward of your clothes, of your shoes, of your car, your house, your yard, those material, physical things, but also the spiritual things. The spiritual things, mostly, a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. We're supposed to be good stewards of our joy. We're supposed to exhibit the joy of the Lord to people. And being a good steward. So There's a couple things now down here that you need to write down sometime. It can be right now or when you get home. Put it in your notebook. The first is this: what are some other things God has entrusted to your care? Maybe I haven't mentioned it yet. Write down some things on that line eventually. I wrote down the gospel. He's entrusted that to our care, right? The gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? What is your gift? What is your ministry gift? There's seven of them. How about your family, your church, evangelizing the world through missions, things like that? Write something down, maybe that I haven't. And while you're writing that down, here's another verse. This time Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another," now listen, "as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." What is your gift? Maybe it's just the gift of helps. And I shouldn't have even said that, just the gift of helps. Where would churches be without someone cutting the lawn, watering the garden, vacuuming the carpets, cleaning the bathrooms, just helping people? Where would that's a big thing. And we should be good stewards of it. Don't just say, "Oh, somebody else can do it." No, no, no. God's watching you. God's watching me. And what is your gift? 1 Peter 4:10, if you didn't get that, write that down. Next question: what are the greatest matters God has entrusted to you? Well, the greatest matter is to love God. That's the greatest matter. It's the greatest commandment. Have we been good stewards of that? Have we, as Jude said, keep yourselves in the love of God? Do you ever notice how it's easy to fall out of love with anybody, even God? Sorry, but you got to keep yourself in love with God. You got to keep yourself in love with your mate. You got to work at it. It doesn't just happen accidentally. It's got to be done intentionally. You got to love God. What else are we supposed to love? Our neighbors as ourselves. And that especially means evangelizing the lost. But we should love the human race. For God so loved the world. His love didn't stop with you. That's pride when we think, "Well, his love stopped with me, man. I can't think of anyone else he'd want to love beside me." Wow. No, he wants to love everybody. He wants to love everybody. So here's the conclusion today. Life is a test of our trusts. Be faithful with what you have been entrusted with. You will be tested on it someday. And here's a verse, Romans 14 and verse 12. Some of you might know this verse. Anyone know it? Romans 14 and verse 12. Off the top of your head, memorized it? No? All right. It's a pretty well-known verse. Romans 14, verse 12. It says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Every one of us. There's no exceptions. There's no missing out on this inevitable day when you will give an account. So don't be that concerned about the person sitting next to you. Be concerned about what God has trusted you with. And some people have a talents. Here's a thought. Because everything we have has been given to us by God, and we saw that over and over tonight, everything takes on eternal importance. Okay? Use everything for eternal importance. Make your house look like the nicest house on your road. Your car clean and everything. Just be a good testimony. The way you dress, the way you appear, let it be of eternal importance. The way you talk to the person at the restaurant or the store, or the policeman who stops to pull you over or to help you out, or just the way you talk to people. Let it be a testimony. Let it take on eternal importance. I remember one preacher who, no matter who he was talking to, he would say this inside of himself: "I am talking to the most important person on earth at this moment. This is the person God has given me to talk." Might be a little kid, I am talking to the most important person on earth at this moment. God wants me to be a testimony and to trust me with this moment. Trust me with this moment. And let's not be getting nasty like all the rest of the world. Everything takes on. All right, and I did put James 1:17 down there. I noticed that just now. We talked about it earlier. Memory verse, for what is your life? James 4:14, the last part. It is even a vapor that appears for a time and then vanisheth away. Nobody, when they're up in their old age, says, boy, my life went so slow. I've never heard a person say that before. A senior citizen, oh man, my life went so slow, I can't believe it. Nobody says that. Let's talk about how fast life goes. Now, the last thing, now here's an assignment that would be good for you to do if you're really participating in this study. Just for the next few days or the next week before we meet again, say this often as you can. God is the owner of everything good that I have. I will take care of it for Him. God is the owner of everything I have. Even your eyesight, your hearing, your voice, your physical blessings, your material blessings, and your spiritual blessings. I like to put things in those three categories. My physical blessings. Okay? If you got hands and you can use those hands and you're gifted with those hands, muscle memory and everything, that came from God, use that for His glory. Use it for His glory. Your voice, whatever. Material. And we have so much in this country. And spiritual. I will take care of it for Him. Why don't we just decide tonight, hey, this is my church. I'm going to take care of this church. I'm going to pray for the people of this church. I'm going to come and care for people and minister to people and love people. And if a lost person walks in, I'm going to try to bring the gospel to them before they get out of the building. I'm going to love these kids. A lot of them are away this week, but just love them when they come. So